Hi, everyone. Welcome to the IoT Show Deep Dive. We are going to be deep diving into Azure Digital Twins and update capabilities. I'm here with Christian, and we're excited that you're here. Welcome to IoT Show Deep Dive. Today we are going to deep dive into the new capabilities of Azure Digital Twins. So I'm really excited to have Christian here with me today. He's going to be our main speaker. Hi, Christian.
Hi, Pamela.
Hey, do you want to give a little overview on what you do on the team?
Sure. I'm working as a PM on the Digital Twins team and the IoT platform team. And I'm here to tell you a lot of details about what we're doing in the Digital Twins platform.
Yeah, so thank you for being here, Christian. So we are going to have a jam-packed session today. So hopefully for all of you joining, if you're joining live, feel free to ask questions. Both Christian and myself are going to be on chat answering your questions throughout this presentation. And if you're viewing on demand, don't worry, you can still reach out to us and ask questions. And at the end, I'll show you how to do that. So let's go ahead. Let's go over the agenda. So for this deep dive and all deep dives, we always start off with a quick intro. And we're not going to go too much into everything that we announced at Build when it comes to Azure Digital Twins. If you're interested, we do have a session that we did at Build that's on demand. And I will direct you to where that link is at the end of this presentation. But we will give that overview. Next, we're going to actually deep dive into the technical overview. We're going to go over services, the SDK, modeling, twin graph, graph queries, access control, and then how you can get started. So this is really meant for you to have that nice technical walkthrough as a developer, understand our tooling, and really understand different elements of working with Azure Digital Twins. So I'm going to waste no time. Let's go ahead. And Christian, do you want to go ahead and get started?
Sure. Thank you, Pamela. So I just want to start with a very, very short intro of the background of Digital Twins before we get into the product. If you have already watched our Build presentation, you have heard a lot of this already, but I just want to make sure we all have the same background, what we're talking about, and then we jump right into the tech stuff. So a digital twin is really a digital replica of some real-world things, places, business processes, and even maybe people. A digital twin is really meant to help us understand, control, and analyze a real-world business operation. So we really believe that digital twins have a real bright future. Increasingly, new generations of digital twins will evolve into comprehensive models of many different aspects of reality that all combine in a single pane of glass as a transparent model of a business. And Azure Digital Twins is our developer platform for next generation IoT solutions that model the real world. So let's spend just a couple of minutes on some of the benefits of digital twin solution. So let's begin with an example. So in a commercial building, the building manager rarely knows much about how the building is actually used, from space utilization to energy efficiency. And using IoT sensors, we can provide actual data and derive insights. However, on its own, the raw IoT data is really not all that interesting because we need context information to interpret the data. For example, the location of the sensor, what other sensors are around, other meaningful data that defines, what the context and the environment of these sensors are. And really, in addition, you don't care about sensors at all as a building manager. What you really care about are business concepts. Is the building comfortable for the users? Is the heating efficient? If it is not, why not? You want to reason about your building in business terms, not in tech speak. And that is really where the digital twins design pattern comes in. It helps you to create these digital models that represent the world in your terms. So ADT is really built around the ability to model your perspective of the real world combined with an execution environment that you can bring to life with data from IoT sensors through a built-in event-driven data processing system and lots of input and output connectivity. So we released our first preview of Digital Twins quite a while ago. The initial preview was very focused on smart buildings, smart spaces, and we got great feedback from it, validating many of the underlying design ideas and concepts. But customers really came back to us and said, hey, we really want to use these concepts not just for smart buildings, we want to use them for other domains beyond smart spaces, for example, in industrial scenarios, energy grid management, farming, and many other domains. And so in response to the feedback that we got, we made quite a few changes to the Azure Digital Twins platform. So where the first preview came with a hard-coded ontology of entities for smart spaces and a topology system that was really focused on the hierarchical relationships that you find in buildings, the new version delivers a much more flexible modeling system that lets you design your own custom types, your own entities that can represent the things and people that matter in your world. It also lets you create much more complex graph topologies that have much richer connectivity between the entities that you create. Our customers also ask us for a much more flexible compute model. In the original preview, we had JavaScript-based user-defined functions. In the new version, you can basically use external compute, for example, Azure Functions, and that makes it possible to pretty much use all your existing code libraries, additional programming languages, external compute services such as machine learning or physics simulation, and so on and so forth. Version 1, we had IoT Hub tightly integrated into the Digital Twins platform. That turned out that it made it hard for customers to manage their devices in exactly the way they wanted. And so in the new version, you can bring your own IoT Hub and you have full access and control to device management through this hub. And finally, we did a lot of work to enable solutions at a much larger scale. And really with that, we're going to talk more about these abilities.
Hey, Christian. So for those who are, working with the public preview over a year ago, and they want to have these updated capabilities, what would you recommend for them to do?
So the new preview has quite a number of changes against the old platform. And so customers will have to migrate to the new technology. We will continue to support the old preview for quite some time going till the new service goes GA. But if you are currently having a solution that is built or designed on the old platform, you should really jump on the public preview as soon as possible and start migrating.
Okay, thanks, Christian.
Let's start with a quick overview of digital twins in context. So a digital twin solution typically will not just contain the digital twin service, the Azure Digital Twin service alone, but a number of other services that it's connected with. Most importantly, you will have one or more client apps that is responsible to manage the digital twins graph and the digital twins models that you design. You will also probably have an IoT hub or another input source, another service that pushes data into digital twins. You will have some compute resources like Azure Functions that do data processing, and you will have downstream services where you push data to, like, for example, a cold storage for long-term maintenance of your data, or analytics services like Azure Synapse or machine learning. You can connect to workflow systems such as logic apps, right? So there's many, many ways where you can put your data in downstream services from digital twins. If we look at that a little bit from a developer perspective, there are a number of responsibilities that you have as a developer when you develop with a digital twins platform. The first one is that you model the environment. So as we said earlier, what is really important about digital twins that you have the ability to create your own domain vocabulary that defines, like the concepts that you have in your environment. You define these in a simple definition language called the digital twins definition language, and then you register these definitions with an ADT instance. You also will write code that generate and maintains the graph of digital twins that you have using these previously defined models. So to give you an example for that, in a building management system, you might have concepts such as the building itself, floors, rooms, neighborhoods, spaces, HVAC systems, elevators, and so on. And a concrete instance of a building would maybe need one building, a number of instances of floor. Let's say the building has four floors, so you would have four instances of type floor, right? Each floor might have some 20 neighborhoods, so you would have 20 instances of type neighborhood and appropriate instances of rooms and so on, right? And typically, this graph is generated, you know, like procedurally or programmatically from other data sources. It could also be manually created. So your client apps will typically be in charge of managing, you know, like the graph generation and maintenance. You will also write code, and that's your second big responsibility, to process data and update state as it flows through the graph. So think of the digital twins model that you have basically as a static representation of the world. And as you drive data into it, you bring it to life with real-time data that is coming from all the sensors or other data sources you have in your environment, so that you have an always up-to-date state representation of the real world in your graph. And in practice, you're doing this by creating egress routes to external endpoints. You can do this with event grids, event hubs, service bus, and so on. And then you apply processing logic for your business logic and data propagation. And of course, you also can send data to downstream services. In addition, in many solutions, people write solution-specific front-end code. For example, you might build a monitoring dashboard that takes models from ADT and graph state and displays that, create visualizations of the graph. You might wire up event handlers to drive real-time UX updates, or have even domain-specific query UI, you know, because often the end-user application that sits on top of digital twins, right, will need a front-end that is usable, you know, for domain specialists that use the solution, not for developers or technologists. In many ways, it's important to understand that Azure Digital Twins really provides a data model. It does not provide in itself, you know, like a complete UI layer. Building the UI layer, how the data is represented, is basically a developer responsibility on top of Digital Twins. If you think of the Digital Twins service in the context of a model view controller paradigm, you can think of Digital Twins as a model component. It provides a rich model with a rich event model that you can use to represent data and access data, but you build a view layer on top of it that lets you basically visualize and manage the data on top.
Christian, I know we're talking a lot about data. If yes. I'm using time series insights to manage my time series data, is there service integration with Azure Digital Twins that I could look into?
Yeah, you can absolutely connect Digital Twins to a time series insight instance. So we will have a tutorial available that will actually show you how to do this. So it's pretty straightforward to connect the two services together and manage time series data in the context of a Digital Twin solution.
Okay, great. And then one question I've been getting from fellow developers is Cosmos DB support, or is Digital Twins backed by Cosmos DB? What would be your comment there?
We are definitely using Cosmos DB for all kinds of things inside of Digital Twins. We're using it for many different functions inside of the implementation of the Azure Digital Twins service.
Okay, thanks, Christian.
All right. Moving on, just for a practical example for how a digital twin solution can look like in an environment, this is an example architecture that we built together with a company called Bentley Systems. Bentley Systems builds infrastructure management systems and CAD solutions. One of their products, iModel Hub, you can think of basically as a GitHub for CAD data. It takes CAD data from a vast variety of CAD sources and brings it all together in a comprehensive CAD model of a complex infrastructure project. With a very industrial strengths backed change management and revision process. And this then can be combined with Azure Digital Twins to do real-time operational data processing driven by the data models that are defined, you know, like on the CAD side from the project management side. So the way this solution works is that the iTwin service that you can see on the lower left of the diagram basically gets driven with the original CAD data. There's a revision process so that only approved changes actually make it through the system. And once changes are approved, there's an export agent that takes the model information inside of iModel Hub, which is basically the source of truth for the topology information and geometry information, and it generates DTDL, the Digital Twins definition language models, and the topology that Azure Digital Twin then uses to process real-time IoT data for visualization of the actual state of the infrastructure project. At the same time, the data is piped through Digital Twins into time series insights, as per Pamela's earlier question, nicely integrated so that time series data is captured. And all this data together real-time data from Azure Digital Twins, time series data from Time Series Insight, the original CAT models, background map data, and several other data sources more are then displayed together in the front-end application that basically creates a visual representation of the entire infrastructure project that you can use to have access both to the original geometry as designed, to the background information from maps, to 3D capture data that represents real true geometry as built and, you know, as digged in the ground, and all the IoT data and real-time data on top of it for a real comprehensive view. So that is just one example for an architecture, how all these components can come together in a solution. So to dig a little bit more into details, let's start at the very beginning. How do you actually work with Azure Digital Twins? So basically, Digital Twins is a PaaS service offering. You can set it up, instances of Digital Twins via the Azure portal or very easily using Azure CLI support. So it's all very easily scriptable. The Azure Digital Twin service is programmed via a REST API surface. And we have several SDKs available for public preview. Actually, we have one, the C# SDK, but you can generate additional SDKs using AutoREST for now, and we will follow with additional SDKs for the supported Azure languages in the near future. There's also a parser library for the Digital Twins definition language that you can use for validation of Digital Twins models and a reflection over the Digital Twins definition language on the client side. That is, before you ever upload models to the service. This is really useful, not just for validation, but also for things like model-driven UI design, where, for example, dashboards or control panels can be defined automatically from the DTDL data.
And Christian, is it a fair thing for me to assume that when you say additional SDKs, we're talking about Java, JavaScript, and Python?
The supported Azure languages are basically C#, Java, JavaScript, TypeScript, and Python. And for these languages, we will have SDKs. You see here at the bottom of the screen a couple of examples, but we're going into code samples a little later, so I'm going to skip this for now and move on. Just a few details. The SDK that we have for C# is based on the Azure SDK guidelines. You see some links here on the slide that show you where you can find these. Basically, the guidelines for Azure SDKs are really calling for idiomatic support for each language, so all the APIs will be designed, all the SDKs will be designed so that each language is supported in a natural way. There's a very comfortable authentication model that makes it really easy to get your service your application authenticated with the service, consistent return type and error handling, automated paging, and lots of other things that make it really comfortable to use the SDKs. Again, we're going to look into some of this stuff as we move on with the presentation in more detail. The DTDL parser library basically is a client-side library that effectively lets you do reflection over the Digital Twins definition language on the client side. So basically, you can give it entire DTDL model sets, so whole collections of models, and it handles inheritance and all the cross-connections between multiple models. And it's really very good to use to validate models before you upload them to the service, or to find out which properties or methods are defined in a model, and to drive UX generation code, and so on and so forth. So lots of good things. And that's another code library that is just distributed via NuGet that you can use as part of your client-side projects. So there's a number of CLI extensions for Azure Digital Twins that make it really comfortable to create and manage ADT instances. For example, you can create, list, and delete instances. You can manage RBAC. You can manage endpoints. And the CLI also allows you to issue simple data plane commands so that you can, for example, list twins or access twins, you know, just using data plane commands. Sometimes that's really useful, you know, for debugging and scenarios. Just to give you an idea how easy it is to create, you know, like for example, an ADT instance using the CLI commands. The commands that you have here at the bottom is the complete serial sequence of commands that you would need to issue, beginning with the login into Azure, selecting your desired subscription, registering the Digital Twins namespace for the first time. You know, like this is all it takes to basically get a running Digital Twins instance.
That's great, Christian. I'm excited that we have that tooling support. And I'm wondering, you know, we have the main IoT extension for Azure IoT for the Azure CLI. I'm wondering, is that the same extension you're talking about? So I only need to update that extension to get the support for Azure Digital Twins?
Yes, that will eventually be the same extension, yes.
Okay, wonderful.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about modeling. So models in digital twins basically describe a domain vocabulary. And what the modeling system in Azure Digital Twins allows you to do, it lets you describe all the entities and concepts that are important for your business and describe how these entities relate to each other and are connected to each other. To describe these entities, we use the Digital Twins definition language, which has an open source specification. It's completely programming language independent, and it's based on JSON-LD, so that there's a lot of processing tools that are already available and are compatible with the language. We also use the Digital Twins definition language to describe IoT devices through a service that we call IoT Plug and Play. And it is also aligned with the time series insight data model. So our goal really is that we have throughout the entire IoT solution space a consistent way to describe entities and to describe everything from devices to logical business models so that everything plays together seamlessly. So basically a consistent programming model that reaches, you know, like from the devices and the edge all the way to, you know, like the cloud with ADT and TSI. So once you have defined your entities and the way how they can be connected together, you need to build an actual model of your environment. That means you need to create instances of these specific entities in your real world, and you need to connect these instances into a topology graph that represents your real environment, right? And then define the event processing and routing rules for your environment. In this section of the talk, we're going to focus on the modeling first. We're going to talk about how to build topologies and how to deal with event handling a little later. So let's begin with modeling. So with the Digital Twins definition language, you can describe your twins in terms of a number of things: properties, telemetry, commands, relationships, and components. Properties are really what you would expect them to be. They are data fields that represent some durable state of a digital twin. Telemetry, on the other hand, represents measurements. In many ways, the easiest way to think about telemetry is as events. A telemetry field represents an event that can be fired that has a value attached to it or that has a type attached to it. And it's really the equivalent of a sensor reading or the equivalent of an event in the C# language. Commands are used to represent methods that can be executed on a digital twin, and relationships is really what is at the heart of the overall model. So relationships basically let you model how one twin can be related to another twin. And really the way I like to think about relationships is that they represent the verbs between the nouns. So if every entity of every twin model represents a noun, like, for example, a floor, a room, an HVAC system, a power station, a transmission line, the verbs represent the relationship. Floor contains room, HVAC system cools a room, or the power station feeds a consumer, right? The compressor is built to user. All these semantic relationships are represented through the relationship concept in DTDL, and you can create very, very rich topologies of relationships using that concept. Finally, components are really a way how you can assemble twins from multiple building blocks. So where individual twins can be connected with relationships, that means they have independent life cycles and they need to be managed independently. Components are really there when you want to handle something as a single entity, where you just basically have different building blocks or different namespaces inside of one entity. And an example is, for example, that a phone might have two built-in cameras, a front camera and a back camera. Both of these can be the same component with with the same type that describes a camera, but there are two instances of that built into the phone, but their life cycle is connected to the phone. So they don't have a separate identity in the graph. They don't live separately. They're just one convenient unit that is made up out of subparts. That's often really just a practical thing, you know, like to build complex models, you know, like because it makes the management of your overall twins graph easier. Finally, the digital twins definition language also supports inheritance. So interfaces that describe entities can inherit from each other. So in the picture to the right, the orange box represents a twin instance of a specific room, for example, room 29. And the type of this twin instance is this conference room. But conference room extends other interfaces. It extends room, it extends meeting space, and so on, so that functionality can be basically be inherited throughout a hierarchy of twin types. So let me just show a quick demo here. So I'm going to exit my slideshow here for a second and open Visual Studio Code. So here in Visual Studio Code, I have an extension that helps with the editing of DTDL. So every DTDL file has to have a context line that basically describes where the language definition of DTDL is as a JSON-LD language meta model. And once I have that, I have IntelliSense here, and I can just start typing. And so it tells me I do need to have a type for this document. And the type for the top-level thing has to be an interface. That's the only thing here that is allowed. And these are a few other fields. An ID is required, and all the other fields are optional. So let's first add an ID. IDs need to be in the form of a DTMI. That's a specialized form of a URI. So we're going to call that example, call it data, and give it a version number. So here we have that. And we should probably add, you know, it's always good style to have a display name so that there's a human readable name. We're going to call that some data object, not a particularly pretty name, but it will do. And now we can add some of these content elements that we talked about that describe a twin. So for example, properties. So I can add into this context collection, I can add new objects. So I can write, I want a type. So type, these are the five things that can be in content: commands, components, properties, relationships, telemetry. So let's add a property. It has to have a name, so we'll add a name. Let's call it temperature. And we can add schema. In this case, these are the basic types that are allowed, the primitive types that are allowed in DTDL. There are also complex type. We'll talk about that in a little bit, so I'm going to take that as a double. And this is basically the way how you get IntelliSense tooling in Visual Studio Code to create your own DTDL models.
And Christian, while you're going to the next slide, I'm wondering, you know, for DTDL, how it interacts with other data description languages, like, for example, CDM. Could you explain that a little bit more on how that can work?
Yeah, sure. So DTDL is really designed to describe active entities, things like devices that can act and do things. And so it really describes the entities that make up a working life dynamic systems. But when you go to data analytics, for example, to store data into the data lake, and you want to work with all the Microsoft Analytics tools, all the tools from Synapse over Data Factory, Data Explorer, and many more, they all understand CDM, the common data model, really well. So one thing that we are looking into, we don't have this quite yet in the public preview, is to provide the ability to write data right out of Azure Digital Twins into the data lake in CDM format so that you will get full compatibility for data analytics with all the other data, and that you can do joint analytics and analyze all this data in common context.
Okay, I'm excited for that feature because I know that's gonna there's gonna be a lot of people very interested in that because I'm already getting pinged about that.
Great. just to repeat what I was just showing, so a simple digital twins definition language interface basically needs to have a context. It needs to have an ID and a type. And then in the content section, you can define properties, telemetry, and so on. In this example, he has two properties and a telemetry value. You can have simple and complex types. So simple types, you know, all the things like integers, booleans, doubles, timestamps, and so on and so forth. But you also can define complex types such as objects. In this case, here in the picture, for example, you see a telemetry value defined with a rotation property that is an object that has multiple fields such as roll, pitch, and yaw that define, you know, like the different fields of this complex type. Relationships, as I said, are really at the heart of, you know, like creating models and complex knowledge graphs inside of digital twins. Relationships are unidirectional, but can, of course, be built from either direction. They are fully queryable through the query language. And very importantly, relationships can also have properties, just like twins can have properties. You can attach data items to relationships, which often is really practical in modeling because it really solves many common problems in modeling because you can have data associated with the relationship itself. And that gives you a lot of flexibility in modeling scenarios. Finally, inheritance. So twins often, or twin types rather, need often to be specialized for a given use case. And what DTDL basically supports is interface inheritance. So if you see here in example one, this very, very, very simple room interface, it has one single property with the name occupied. The interface conference room extends room and adds a property with the name capacity. If you ask the type conference room which properties it has, it will answer, I have two properties. One property is occupied as a Boolean value, and one property is capacity as an integer value. Here in example three, we have yet another type, executive conference room, and that adds another property named VP name. And so if you ask executive conference room about its properties, it will say, I have three properties. I have the VP name, capacity, and occupied, because it basically, because it extends from conference room, it inherits the entire chain up to room. So it's really what you would expect from an interface inheritance system. Okay. So finally, the Azure Digital Twin Service has a bunch of APIs available for you to work with models. Obviously, you need to be able to upload these models to the service to configure the service with, you know, your specific domain model. You also have APIs to list models. You can decommission and delete models. So there's all the things that you need to properly manage your model in the service instance.
I just remembered a question that we had at Build about models and if our team is going to help support and make some models available that are aligned to different industries for people who just want to, you know, an example or a way to bootstrap their IoT solution with digital twins.
Yeah, that is a great question. Yeah. So yes, we definitely want to make, you know, like model collections or ontologies or model sets, however you want to call them, available for customers to begin with. I can't give many details on that yet because it's work in progress, but we're working with several industry partners on making domain models for different domains available as starting points for developers to build their own models off. Defining ontologies is really not that easy. It has nothing to do with the digital twin definition language or anything like how you actually write the models. It's just thinking about exactly which entities you need, which properties they need to have, which relationships they need to have, right? The mental effort of organizing the world into types is just hard. And so the more we can share that in the ecosystem and give everybody, you know, like good proven models that have been tested, you know, like in the environment, I think the easier it will be for people to build great solutions on top of that.
Exactly.
All right. So much about models. So let's talk a little bit about the twins graph. As I said earlier, once you have, you know, like your models uploaded into your digital twins instance, you want to look at creating a graph from these and putting all that together as a graph of entities. And the way this works actually, before we talk about the way this works, let me actually start with to give you an example to actually illustrate that a little bit. That is maybe a better starting point. So the picture I have here on the screen is actually a practical use case we've been working through with a customer. In the customer's domain model, we have a hospital chain that has various regions of hospitals, and each hospital is made up out of a number of floors. The floors have zones, and on the zones there are patient rooms, and some patient rooms are shared between zones. So it's a setup, basically a hierarchy, a little bit more than a hierarchy of entities that describe the hospital topology. This picture here only shows things from the floor down. Imagine the regions and the hospitals at the top of the picture. And the particular problem that the hospital wanted to solve is they wanted to measure the diligence of hospital personnel washing their hands, because obviously that's very important for infection control. And the way they decided to do this is by placing motion sensors at the doors of the patient rooms and have soap dispensers that send events whenever somebody dispenses soap. And then basically for every room, using a simple heuristic, calculate if a person that walked in the room washed their hand by looking at the time interval between the time it took from entering the room and a soap dispense event being fired. And so with this graph being constructed in Azure Digital Twins, basically customers would fire events whenever the motion sensor or the soap dispenser would be activated. And these events would then set a property on the patient room, which is the visit dispense ratio, if the events happened close enough together in time. But every change in this property value would fire a property change event again, which then would be propagated to the zone. And the event handler attached to the zone would basically go and say, hey, let me look at all the patient rooms and calculate the average visit dispense ratio for all the rooms in this particular zone. And as that property changes on the zone, the data will propagate to the hospital floor and will calculate an average of that data for the hospital floor, and then it will propagate up to the hospital. As a result, the hospital operator, the nursing staff, has a constant overview both at the fine granular level of the patient room and at every level in between how the current compliance with hand washing rules actually looks like in the building. And the same data can, of course, be written out to long-term storage for longer-term analytics, so that this particular use case also helps with research, for example, which policies help to incentivize hand washing and so on and so forth, right? And this is really a super, super, super simple example, but it shows how the combination of topology management, event handling, and propagation of data through the graph can help to build, like IoT solutions with a very, very simple programming model. So to look at that a little bit in practice, I said earlier, that you have to start with, just building a topology. And in many cases, the data for building a topology already exists. So for example, it could exist in a building information management. It could exist in a database somewhere. For example, like in the example with Bentley that I showed earlier, it exists in the iModel Hub service that has basically a complete CAD model of the environment, and that is derived from that. So there are many places where it exists. It turns out, though, that also in brownfield buildings, so very often the data just exists in form of an Excel file where people manually collect all this information and write it down in Excel. And the sample code here in this picture just shows how you could read an Excel sheet, an example for the way how it looks like is here at the lower right, how you would actually write code that reads, like an Excel sheet and creates, like a twin graph. We're going to look at the actual coding pattern in a little bit more detail in a second, so I don't want to spend too much time on that. But it gives you an idea that, taking in external data and constructing a twin topology from that is actually really quite compact and quite easy to do. So in overview, the twin APIs basically give you the full set of CRUD operations, like on twins. You can create them, you can read them, you can patch and update them, you can delete them. And there's also a full set of APIs for relationship, creating them, reading them, patching them, deleting them. And of course, listing incoming and outgoing relationships on twins to discover topological relationships between elements. And in order to work with digital twins, we need to add two dependencies. And I did that before, so I'm not going to type this. So add package Azure Identity. That package gives you basically access to easy authentication functions that make it easier to authenticate with a service. And we need to just add the package for the Azure Digital Twins API. Here we go. And this is really all it takes to get a startup project that we can use to directly connect with digital twins. So the code that this generates is basically this. This is the starter thing that you get in a .NET created project. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to copy in some, I'm not going to bore you typing all that, so I'm just going to copy in some snippets here. I'm just going to replace here some of the using statements and some of the code with the basic code that you need. Oops, I forgot a bracket here. So I'm typing in something in the end. Basically, with the basic code that you need to actually authenticate and get started to get a connection to digital twins. So all that you need to do is you need to get access to three pieces of data, your ADT client ID, that is your app registration that you do in the Azure Active Directory service. You need your ADT tenant, which is basically your tenant ID for your subscription, and you need the URL for your digital twins instance that you have to have pre-created. Then with these two lines of code, you can get your credentials to get access to this, to the service, and then you can basically create a client instance that you can code against, that you can call digital twins functions on. So basically the client object is what has all the different digital twins functions for creating digital twins, uploading models, and so on. All these functions are hanging off the client object. So the first thing we want to do is to actually upload a model. So let's look at the code for that. Again, I don't want to type this, so I'm just going to paste this in here and we're going to walk through it. So this code basically uploads a model. What it does is it reads a model file from disk, just a DTDL file like what we started typing earlier. And then it calls as an asynchronous call, create models async, which basically uploads that twin, this model to the service. We're wrapping this into a try-catch call. This is a good idea to do because in the Azure SDK guidelines, basically any error coming from the service will result in an exception. And so you need to manage exceptions for error handling. So at this point, we can already run this and see what it does. So we're going here and say .NET run. Actually, I should save this before, otherwise this is not going to do very much. And hit .NET run. And so after this is compiled, okay, it says upload a model. And now what it does is it will open a browser because the authentication that we ask for is interactive authentication. So it asks me to actually sign in. So I'm picking my account. So now we have that signed in. I can take this away. And so now it actually uploaded the model successfully and we're done. Now that is not super interesting because we can't really see very much. So the next thing I want to do is I want to read the model that we just uploaded back from the service. So I'm just going to add a little bit of code here that says, async pageable model data list equals client dot get models async. So the get models async call will ask the service, hey, give me all the models that are defined on the service, and it gives them back as an async pageable. The async pageable is a real cool thing from the Azure core package that basically handles paging for you. So you don't have to worry about this paging API from the REST API is actually paging. You don't have to worry about any of this page management. The async pageable will just take care of that, and you can just loop over the results with an await loop, with a for each loop. This is an asynchronous for each loop in this case, and get the results back. So even if the list has thousands of entries, you can just treat it as if it was a single loop, which is really convenient. So again, let's save that and run the results. So let's hit .NET run. Again, this will ask us to authenticate. So the browser will come up again in a second. Okay, let's just click that and go away. So now it uploads the model, and you see that two things here. One thing is we're getting an error, and second, we're getting one list back with the model that we had defined. Why do we get an error? Well, the error code that we're actually printing out here in the catch statement tells us that model already exists. That is what we should expect in this case. When you try to upload a model with the same ID that already exists, the server says, wait a minute, I already have this ID. What are you doing? So it basically just tells me that I'm trying to upload the same model twice, but because I wrapped that in a try-catch statement, I can basically just handle this sort of error. And then it basically gets the result. Because I've only uploaded one single model, I only get one single line of model spec. So let's create a few twins. Let's actually create a graph. So I'm going to paste in one more piece of code here. So what this code does is, in just a loop, it creates a few twins and then a few relationships. Let's look at the creation of the twins. So I'm creating a basic digital twin that is basically a data object that just creates, you know, like a data structure that the REST API call needs. As you can see, we're calling JSON serialize on this type here, because basically the direct API call gets a JSON data structure. The reason why this is JSON is because all these models are, of course, custom types. The API doesn't know anything about the types you have defined, right? So what structure they have and how the data is defined, really, we cannot know. So we're basically just taking JSON. So what I'm doing here is I create this basic digital twin. I give it an ID. I set the model ID to the DTDL type that I have. And I add the one property that is defined on that type. Actually, we should probably have a quick look at this type. This is how this type looked like. It has one property of type data, and one relationship is connected to that lets me create connections. And so once I have created this twin, then I'm looping through these and I create a relationship between this twin and all the other twins I have created before, so that each twin is connected with each other twin. So again, let's run this example. Okay. So the model gets uploaded. Oops, when that happens, we get our authentication again. Okay, and now the twins are being created and the relationships are being created, and we now have a twin model with four twins and all the relationships that got created. In order to make sure that these actually are there, we do one less code snippet here. We're going to do a query against this twin graph and ask for all the twins that we have just defined back from the service. So we're running a query with a simple query statement, select star from digital twins. That basically means give me everything that is defined, every twin instance that is defined. And then again, this returns an async pageable, and we can just await for each over this. And here you can see how we can use the basic digital twin object to deserialize the JSON twins that are returned and then print out all the properties we have. So let's save this and run this code again. This will now ask me again to authenticate. Okay, creates all the things again. And here you see the printout from the query, where you basically have the results from the query. So it finds four twins, and each twin has one data property, each with a slightly different value that was set up in the for each loop. So that gives you an idea how easy it is to work against the digital twins API. But I do want to show you this in a slightly more fun way. So we have an open source application that we will make available that is basically a visual interface to digital twins. We're going to make that available as a sample application. And if I run this query from here, first needs to authenticate again. So then we can see basically a graph visualization of the twins that we have here. So and now the property inspector shows all the properties of the twin. And I can also go here and, for example, change some new piece. Oops. of data and save this, if I save a change to the data, we're basically applying a patch to this. And this is exactly the patch that you would actually have to supply to the API to actually make this change on the service. So we're going to come back to this interface a little later to look at some more examples. But with this, I want to move on to another set of tech bits.
And Christian, you mentioned that the Explorer is open source, that you're going to make it available. Where would developers most likely be able to find that? Is that just going to be on GitHub, link from our docs, or when do you think developers would be able to get their hands on this?
Yeah, that would be on GitHub, and it would be as part of the Azure Samples repository. And of course, we will on our blog and in our documentation, we will definitely link to it.
Okay, thanks, Christian.
Okay, so the next thing we want to look at is event handling, ingress, and routes in digital twins. Because after all, in order to do something with data in digital twins, you first have to get data in, and usually after you have processed it, you want to get it out. So for ingress, basically, you can drive ADT using the REST API surface, which basically means that any data source that can call REST APIs can drive ADT. Typical scenario is you have an event handler function that is attached to IoT Hub, and this event handler function set properties on twins in response to telemetry messages that are coming in into the system. That means you can not just use this with sources such as IoT Hub, but also with things like event hubs, event grids. You can use it with logic apps or any other tool that basically can call REST APIs. So as an example, so use case here is set a property on a logical twin room based on telemetry that comes from a connected device that has a mirrored twin inside of the twin. As an example, you want to set the room temperature in response to a thermostat telemetry event. What I haven't shown here in this example is how the function would actually be created, how the function security setup would be done. But the code for the Azure function that would do all this processing is basically here in this screenshot. I'm going to show that in a second in a code editor where it's a little bit easier to look at. So basically what happens here conceptually is you have a device that sends a telemetry event on IoT Hub. You would have an event grid connected that fires an Azure function. The Azure function talks to the twin that represents the device in Azure ADT, in Azure Digital Twins, and finds what the parent is of that device, and then sets a property on that parent twin. So, and if you look at this in code, so the first two lines here basically are all about identification, where before we used an interactive identity credential, an interactive browser credential, which made this browser pop-up happen, we obviously can't use that in an Azure function. So the Azure identity namespace also offers a managed identity credential, which works beautifully with MSIs, with managed identities. So if you just set your function to managed identities, this will just automatically give you a credential, and the only thing you need for that is basically the ADT app ID, which is a fixed string, so there's no configuration required. It is really, really easy to make that work. So, and then we just create a client, just like we did in the other examples. The next few lines here are all about getting data out of the event grid data event that comes into the Azure function so that we have the actual property we want. And from this, we get out two things. We get out the device ID from IoT Hub so that we know the number of the device, so that we know which twin to look for to find the parent. And then we get out the temperature value from the thermostat. And that's basically here these four lines. Mm-hmm. And finally, in the last two lines, we're basically finding the parent and then update the twin property. So let's look at this code quickly. So I'm going to quickly switch to this and go here to the ADT utilities thing. So what does find parent do? So find parent really just does a single call to the service, get incoming relationships for a given twin. What this call does is it looks at a twin and it looks at all the connections that are coming in, all the relationships that are coming in from other twins so that you can path them back to the parent. And then it returns, in this case, just the first one of these. The other function here is update twin property. All that does is it generates a patch from the new temperature data that is coming from the event, and then uses this patch to update the property on the digital twin. If you look at this, this is very much the same that you saw in the little pop-up in ADT Explorer. It uses a JSON patch, so every change is described as an operation, a property path, and the value. That was exactly this little JSON snippet that popped up when I did the little edit in the ADT Explorer editor. And that is basically the way how you use functions. And so let's go back to the presentation. So in general, this also applies to event processing on the downstream sides. So all events that are coming into ADT or that are generated by ADT, and events can include incoming telemetry, any property change on any twin, when a twin gets created or deleted, when a relationship gets created or deleted, everything creates events. And all these events flow into a common event stream and then can be picked up by routes that you can define as a developer. And these routes have can have filters on it, so you can get all the events, every single one that the system generates, or you can get a filtered subset where you basically say, no, I only care about this particular subset of events. I only care about events of this type, or I only care about events from this particular device. And these events are being sent to an endpoint, and from this endpoint, you can go to downstream services, for example, TSI, or you can go to store things into Azure Data Lake, or you can trigger a logic app, or you can call an Azure function that in turn can call back into ADT to set properties. So to show one more quick demo, so in this picture, you see the structure of an end-to-end solution that is actually one of our tutorials, where we have data coming from a thermostat that is processed with an Azure function and pushed into a twin that represents the thermostat. And then when a change event happens on the thermostat, this is piped to another Azure function that then updates the room with the current temperature from the thermostat. In this particular example, I created a setup of this schema in an actual Azure Digital Twin instance, and I can show you that, how that actually looks like in Azure Digital Twins Explorer. So I have the room here connected to a floor and the room connected to a thermostat, and the thermostat is actually sending data. You can see it actually here. This is actually getting data from an external ingest point, and every time the data gets updated here, unfortunately this happens very quickly, so I have to switch very quickly, the room gets updated whenever the thermostat updates. And again, that is exactly the function that we have described and that I was showing earlier. So if we click here, so this is actually the function exactly as it is running. So we can look at this data, and this is actually exactly the event that has been generated and that has been processed. So you can see here the data coming from the digital twin and how it is processed, and that it actually has tried to find a parent and set this. So you can see here basically the processing of the twin events happening in real time on the function in the Azure Functions monitor that shows all the events flowing through. Just for the fun of it, and I'm just going to quickly show that as an example, there's no reason that you have to use Azure Functions for that. You can do the same thing with a logic app. So this here is a logic app that I have set up to basically look at my digital twins instance, go to an event grid topic and connect itself to that, to an endpoint connected to Azure Digital Twins. It then has a condition that says, hey, if the event type is equal to a Microsoft Digital Twins twin update, so I'm only looking at property change events. And if that is true, then I get all the values from the twin here with a REST call. I'm getting all my incoming relationships, and then I'm updating the parent twin that I've been looking for with the list incoming relationships. And with that, I can effectively use logic apps as an event processor. Now, that may not be the most efficient way to process events, and I would probably not recommend that for a high volume scenario, but it shows you that connectivity with different services is really easy to do. Basically, all that I needed to do to make this happen is to create a custom connector based on the Swagger file from the Azure Digital Twin service, and that was all it took to be able to directly connect this with logic apps. And of course, I could send email from here. So here I have another logic app that basically lets me send an email whenever a particular event happens on a twin. For example, to send an alert when a particular sensor value or room average value exceeds some threshold that you have defined in your business logic. Okay, with that, let's go back to the presentation and move on quickly to how routes are managed. So just like any other API, routes have the same sort of REST API and C# API that lets you very easily create routes, list routes, and delete routes. There's really nothing particularly new here. The sort of messages that you get here, this is an example for the message that you would get on an event grid for a twin update. So it has well-defined cloud event style event headers, and then the data is basically sent here with all the changes as a JSON patch body. All right. A very important topic in Azure Digital Twins are queries. Very often, you want to follow either the topology of your graph or the values in your graph to derive insight or to extract insights from the actual graph. And to enable this, Azure Digital Twins has a real rich query system that lets you find things in the graph. So the language we use is a SQL-like query language, so it should be very familiar to anybody who knows SQL language. It's also based on the SQL language that is used in IoT Hub, but we extended it with constructs that allow you to traverse relationships and to search through the graph. And using the language, you can basically get twins by property, by model type, by relationship properties, do relationship traversal, use all kind of combinations between these things. You have query comparison operators, scalar function support, like things like is of a particular model type and all kind of other things. So lots of flexibility with a real simple API. Basically, we walked through the API already earlier. It's fundamentally a single call that you pass in the query, and you get this async pageable back that makes it really easy for you to loop through your query results. On this slide, we have a few examples for queries, but I thought it might be more interesting to actually run some queries live. So let me go back to ADT Explorer, where I loaded a slightly bigger model that shows a power grid, a fictive power grid example. So you see here a larger set of models that were loaded into the service, and a slightly bigger graph here of some more elements. And just to show a few interesting queries, so for example, let's do one of these relationship joins. In this query, I'm basically starting with a node here in the middle, and I say, hey, find me all the nodes that are fed from this node. PL feeds means from this node, go out, find the feeds relationship, and then return, and this where P1 DTID equals P1 distribute means start with this node. So let's run this query, and you will get only the central node and the nodes that are connected to it. And now I can continue explore from that by just double clicking any of these nodes, you know, like unfold these and see which other nodes are connected to that. I could also just add another condition here and, for example, find only the nodes that are connected to that that have a particular capacity, for example, and subcapacity larger than 1,000. And if I run this query now, I'm only getting these two subnetworks from the distribution line because these are the only ones that have a capacity that is larger than 1,000. So much for a super, super quick introduction for queries. There's a lot more to the query system. With that, let's move to one last topic, access control. So Azure Digital Twins provides a role-based access control system that is aligned with the Azure RBAC system. So we give you coarse-grained access control for the entire service that has basically two built-in roles that allows you to authorize access to ADT resources. There's the Azure Digital Twins owner and Azure Digital Twins reader, but you can also create your own custom roles, you know, to meet all your specific access control needs. So you can have individual scope for the model CRUD operations, for the twin CRUD operations, for the relationship CRUD operations, for query operations, for event routes, and so on. So there's a lot of granularity for selecting what your permissions are set for. And with that, I'm really at the end of this little technical overview. There's a lot more to Azure Digital Twins, and we hope to see you in the preview trying out the service and playing with it.
Yes. Thank you so much, Christian. You have done a phenomenal job giving us a technical walkthrough. I just but stay quiet at the end, getting all of your knowledge for digital twins. So thank you so much. That was an amazing overview. So if we go to the resource slide, I can give some more information on how folks can get started and some of our other developer resources. So the first one is, join us on IoT Show. Most of you, since you're already joining a deep dive, know about IoT Show, but that's where you can get that latest updates. We have the deep dive every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific time and on demand right after. So we have a new topic every week. If you want to submit a topic, ping me on Alta Ohms on Twitter, and I'll put that in the chat as well. And then if you want to share your projects or reach out to the team, join us in IoT Tech Community. It's completely free. You can join or, you know, just look at different blog posts. Also with the tech community, if you have questions or just, you know, just want to talk to us, it's a great, great area to do that. I'm also posting these deep dives slides at the tech community location. And then if you wanted to get started with Azure Digital Twins, I provided a link to the actual landing page. From that landing page, you'll get access to the docs, some tutorials, and then access to what Christian covered in this presentation. And then we mentioned before at Build, Christian did a talk at Build for Digital Twins. It's called Azure Digital Twins, Powering the Next Generation of IoT. That's on demand right now. So if you go to that mybuild.microsoft.com, you can actually type that in and find that session. You're able to see some of the other questions that folks had and Christian answering those. And then if you have technical questions, visit us at Microsoft Q&A. This is something new that we have at Microsoft. Think of it as, you know, if you have a, think of it as kind of like a Stack Overflow. You can go to Stack Overflow, but you can also go to Microsoft Q&A if you want a quick response to some of your technical questions. So thank you so much for joining. For everyone who asked questions in chat, we really appreciate it. And thanks again, Christian. All right, I hope all of you are staying safe and having a great week.
Thanks, everybody. Bye. Bye.